As always, I'm excited to get to be here to talk with y'all tonight. It's been a while. In fact, when I went to go put, get ready, I was putting on this shirt and these pants, and I realized I had to wear these because they're the only ones that I can still fit into. So that's hitting me pretty hard this evening. But again, I'm excited. I'm so thankful that y'all have for y'all to be here and to get this opportunity. Tonight, I'm going to try to be open, transparent, and a little bit vulnerable, if that's okay with y'all. I feel like this is a pretty safe place for me to get to do that. A few weeks ago, I sang a special, and I asked a really obvious, dumb question. I asked, does anyone ever get tired? Of course we get tired. But the reason that I asked that question is because in the few weeks leading up to that night, I started to realize that that is where I am. Over the last year, if I'm being honest with you, I've had less enthusiasm when preparing and teaching my lessons in Sunday school. Over the last year or so, if I'm being honest with you, reading my Bible has been a slog, almost an obstacle that I have to climb over rather than an excitement that I chase. Over the last year or so, it has been harder and harder to get out of bed and make it to band practice before church. Brother Dale can attest to that. Over the last year or so, it has been harder for me to get excited when asked to preach a sermon. In fact, when Brother Doug initially texted me and asked that if I could preach, I said out loud to that text message, no. No, I cannot. Now, I want y'all to understand this is not a complaint session. I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. What I want is for y'all to join in with me on my intervention. Because I venture to believe that I am not the first, nor am I the only, nor will I be the last to go through this struggle. The reality is that I am tired. Now, I know the reaction is almost always the same within our minds when someone says they're tired. Oh, what do you have to be tired about? I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and work hard till sundown. You don't even know what tired is. I'm guilty of that as well. But if you'll allow, I want us to put aside all that self-centric comparison stuff while we talk about something that I believe impacts many of those who sincerely love God and want to serve Him, and in doing so get involved in ministries, maybe on a church staff, maybe as a deacon, maybe as just a teacher, maybe whatever it may be, they get involved in some shape, form, or fashion. Because I've had these conversations with other believers before, but it just so happens to be where I am right now. So I'm going to try to continue to be open and vulnerable in the hopes that it will give all of us the permission to be open and vulnerable with ourselves and with those around us. And hopefully allow us to look at where we are in our service to Christ, where we have been before, and where we want to move towards in the future. So like I said, I had been going through all that stuff I mentioned before, not really being motivated to prep and teach, feeling like every spiritual act was an inconvenient obligation, not even really enjoying playing the drums, which is something that I've always loved. And in conversation with my wife, I made the statement that my spiritual life, particularly regarding my service within the church, had just started to feel stale, and had for a while. And I struggled for a while to put my finger on what exactly it was. But over time, I figured out that the ultimate culprit, the ultimate tool that I was allowing to get in the way in my service to God is weariness. Simply being tired from the rut and the staleness that I'd felt in my service to Christ, from all the stuff going on in my life, from all the tasks that I was trying to accomplish, and the list goes on and on and on. And after I told Brother Doug that I would in fact preach tonight, I immediately said, God, what on earth am I going to talk about when I don't really know that I want to talk about anything at all? And it was like God simply said, talk about that. Talk about where you are. And I realized that one of the things that I've learned from being around people who minister to others for the glory of God is that sometimes that work can become wearisome. Sometimes we as Christians get tired. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we're over it. Sometimes even the smallest of things seems exhausting. And look, I know that our battles pale often in comparison to that of the apostles or the early church or many people, many believers around our world today. But while that is undoubtedly the case, that doesn't change the truth that weariness in the life of a Christian in America exists, whether it be right or wrong. So let's talk about it. More than that, let's talk about what we do with it. So this is my intervention that God is working on in my heart, and I'm inviting y'all to go along with me, just in case there's a slight chance that I might not be the only one fighting this struggle tonight. Now, like it says, I have various texts. We're not going to read slash focus on any one passage. But because we want to give reverence to God's Word, please stand. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting in verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house together tonight, to open up your word, to sing worship to you. We pray, God, that you would just bless this night, that you would touch our hearts and change us as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing that I want to point out that we have got to remember in order to combat spiritual weariness is to remember our why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we just read, verses 24 through 27, the main idea that Paul is pushing in that passage is that we need to keep our eyes on the prize. I've learned through my short 28 years that purpose absolutely matters. And in reading this passage, we see that Paul is drawing a comparison to something that many at that time and many of us now can relate to in some form or fashion. He's talking here about sports, about an athlete, but what he's really digging into is whatever it is that we give all of ourselves to, all of ourselves for. Whatever it is that we are willing to sacrifice great amounts of time and energy and effort towards, like athletes giving it all for the sport, or musicians sacrificing countless hours and effort for their craft, or whatever it may be for you and I. But the primary point that he is making is that people don't do that. People don't put all of that time and that energy and that effort just for the sake of doing it. We don't put ourselves through that work and bring ourselves to the point of physical and mental and emotional exhaustion for no reason. There is a purpose behind it. Something worth all of it. And where that can be true on an earthly scale with things such as sports, it is most certainly true in our spiritual lives as well. And to best illustrate this, God reminded me of a video that they played a few years ago at one of the Pediatrics Plus New Year's parties as we were discussing our theme for that year. And that theme was Know Your Why. So yes, I did steal some of this when God reminded me of it. Watch this video.
This is called How Do I Know? And a lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know, the next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that has moved me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular, I'm about to show you a clip to. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country. I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
So here's the thing. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time I asked him to sing, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what has more impact, because you're walking in or towards your purpose.
So I know that's kind of silly. Michael Jr. is a stand-up comedian that I like a lot. But the point is pretty legitimate, right? When the man was asked to sing, he did it, and he did a fine job. But when he was given a purpose, a reason behind why he was singing, you could immediately see the difference, the motivation and the energy flowing from him like you didn't see before. I have not had the energy and the enthusiasm that man displayed singing Amazing Grace regarding my walk with Christ in a very long time. Why? Because I so quickly and easily forget my purpose, forget my goal, forget what makes it all worth it in the end. And what happens when we do that is we go through the motions for a while out of habit, out of obligation, or whatever. But we quickly start acting like those people aimlessly beating the air that Paul was talking about in the passage that we read, because we've forgotten our purpose, and where there is no purpose, there is no direction. And before long, we start getting tired and we start looking around saying, what am I doing here? Why am I still working this hard? God, I'm not getting anything out of this. Why do I even bother? Like Elijah in the cave after he has done everything God has asked him to do and none of it has seemed to make a difference and his life is on the line, he sits down, he tells God to allow him to die, and eventually tells God in verse 10 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah was frustrated, and he was depressed, and he was lonely, but Elijah was also tired. He'd been doing all that he was supposed to do, and there he stood saying to God, what's the point? God, I'm exhausted. What is the point? And when God showed up to Elijah in a still small voice, what he told him in that gesture is the same thing we need to know as well. The point is that I'm here, Elijah. The point is that you get to know me. The point is that you get to trust me. The point is that you get to grow closer to me. The point is that all that you do in my name brings you and everyone around you face to face with the reality of who I am. And that provides the opportunity to know me and to experience the love that I have for mankind. The point, the purpose, the why behind all that we do as Christians, every obstacle we need to overcome, every inconvenience we need to endure, every task we must accomplish, every conversation we are supposed to have, it is not an obligation to meet the expectations of the people around us. Is not to check a box on an imaginary list of what it means to be a good person. Is not to do all that we can to make sure we've done enough to make it on our own. The point, the purpose, the why behind all that we do as Christians is to know God and to make Him and His Son known. So that one day, we, along with as many people as possible, can experience the worship of eternity through relationship with God, through Jesus Christ. That is our why. That is our purpose. When we know our why, our whats get a jolt of energy. They have somewhere to go. They're not the waste of time that we sometimes write them off to be. Everything gains life when we know our why, when we know our purpose. In order to combat spiritual weariness, we must remember that serving God isn't an obligation with no purpose. It is a privilege with the sweetest end game that anyone could ever know. The next thing we need to look at, or we need to consider when combating spiritual weariness, is to be still, listen, learn, and change. So if the first thing that we must do is remember our why and try to focus in on our purpose and to help energize us, the next few steps should help us recover and maintain as we move forward. And the first thing I want to point out is Psalms chapter 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. We sure do quote this verse a lot. Frequently, this verse comes up in lessons and sermons, even in conversations. It's one of those things that we know is valuable and important. But how often do we actually do it? Studies show that our bodies need 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. Why? Because sleep allows our bodies to repair, rebuild, recharge, re-energize. Studies also show that we as humans work better, are more efficient, and last longer when we set aside 12 to 24 consecutive hours each week to simply rest. It's weird, it seems like I've heard that somewhere before. Remember the Sabbath? We as people are designed by our God to need rest. So much so that God set the example when He created the universe where He rested. We need rest. And yet, rest is almost always on the bottom of our priority list. And if it isn't, if we actually prioritize rest in our lives, we're often looked down upon and considered lazy. Nearly all of us have done it at one point or another. We've gotten it into our heads that no one works as hard as I do. And anyone that doesn't have their entire plate totally full of stuff is weak and lazy. We may not ever say those words out loud, but occasionally I think many of us think it and believe it. We compare our work ethic to the person next to us and puff out our chest because we believe we work harder or we have more to do. Well, congratulations to us. Now we're less efficient, more cranky, more arrogant, and less like our God in that respect. We're killing it. We load ourselves up with everything we can think of and never give ourselves regular time to rest and recharge. And then we wonder why we have so many problems and frustrations. Just like we need rest for our physical body's benefit, we need rest for the benefit of our souls as well. Be still and know that He is God. When was the last time that you or I were still with the intention of just simply being in the presence of God? When was the last time that we just genuinely sat in awe of our God? Sat back and let the troubles of the world fall away and entered into that place of knowing who God is and realizing that all of those things that stress us out do not matter in the presence of God. That boss at work that drives us absolutely crazy. That family drama that we're so sick of dealing with. That worry about our children. That to-do list that is a million pages long. That fight in our marriages that feels like it's just zapping the life right out of us. None of it matters in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God is where we leave those things with the one that understands and can do with it what you and I cannot do. In the presence of God is where we realize that eternity is a whole lot longer than our times of struggle here on earth. When we rest in the presence of God, it becomes much easier to remember and focus on our purpose. When we rest in the presence of God, it becomes much easier to be grateful for His love and His sacrifice and be motivated to serve joyfully and enthusiastically from a thankful heart. So what if we did that regularly? What if instead of trying to do everything all the time, instead of trying to prove how diligent and hardworking we are, instead of trying to serve and pour from an empty cup tapped out from obligation and reaching for the ridiculous expectations we feel are placed on us by those around us, what if instead we regularly prioritize being still and focused on knowing that He is our God? He is the God. I think you and I would kick this spiritual weariness in the tail. And then while we're still, what if we started actually listening for the voice of God? In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, it says, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" Now we know this story. God is calling out to Samuel as a boy, and Samuel keeps thinking it's Eli, the guy taking care of him at the time. So Sam runs into Eli's room and says, "Hey, yeah, here I am. What's going on? What's up?" And it keeps driving Eli crazy as it keeps happening over and over again until finally Eli realized, well, somebody's got to be talking to this boy. It must be God. So he tells Samuel to listen for the voice, and when he hears it, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." Say, "Hey, God, I'm ready. I'm listening. I wasn't before, I didn't get it, but now I am. I'm ready." And God tells Samuel, "Hey Sam, something big is coming." And I wonder how often is God trying to tell us that something big is coming, or He's got a change heading our way, or whatever it may be, and we never get it because we won't give Him our undivided attention. Because we don't realize and understand that He's talking to us, because we're not expecting it, because we're not seeking it, because we're not listening. I wonder how much we miss. It makes me think of myself. My wife can attest to this. I'm on record many times saying to her and to my family and to my coworkers and to my friends that if you do not have eye contact with me, I have no idea what you are saying. I will not hear you if I am not looking at you, especially if there is a TV on or something else that can take my attention. If I do not make eye contact with you, you will not get what you are saying across to me. I cannot do it. I don't know what it is, but I cannot do it. I have to give my undivided attention. And even then, it's not necessarily the case that I'm going to process it all. The odds just go way up. And even knowing that about myself, I realize that I give God way less opportunities to have my full attention than I do nearly everyone else in my life. And because of that, I miss opportunities. Because of that, I believe I miss direction. I certainly miss growth and encouragement and healing and refocusing and all of those things that I know God provides through regular communication with Him that will help me sustain in my spiritual walk and service moving forward. But instead, I keep pushing forward, trying to do it my own way, even though it's clear that my way isn't working. In our Sunday school class over the last couple of years or so, it has become very obvious that things are becoming stale, or have become stale. There wasn't as much enthusiasm from the kids. They didn't seem to be as invested as groups in the past. And in trying to figure out why that was, I've blamed just about everything I can think of. I blamed the move from upstairs to downstairs. I've blamed the kids because, you know, this generation is just so frustrating. And instead of stopping and listening, I just kept going. Doing things the way I've always done them, deciding that since it had worked with other groups, it must be this group's fault as to why it wasn't working now. And as it has gone on, I've become increasingly frustrated and disappointed because I feel like I'm spinning my wheels and getting nowhere. And you know what that leads to? Being tired, being frustrated, and less motivation to keep going. But I realized recently in all of it, I never really stopped to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And a couple weeks ago, I finally kind of had that conversation with God, and it flowed into a conversation with those in the class that week of just simply saying, "What do I need to hear?" Instead of always talking, I finally said, "I'm listening." And we had some great discussions, and they were honest with me, and God convicted me on where I've been falling short in my commitment to Him, and in my commitment to them and to that classroom and our study. And I'm actively trying to take steps to address those things and make the changes that had I been listening before, I would have started a long time ago. And I'm not saying that it's all fixed and it's all going to be perfect. But But we got to start somewhere. We've got to slow down. We've got to be still and listen for and to the voice of God if we are going to combat spiritual weariness. And then, when we stop and we take a breath and we be still and we listen in the presence of God and we hear His voice, then we've got to make the changes that God directs us to make. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, it says, "I've seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I've acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who are over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind." King Solomon writes here that everything that is done under the sun is vanity. And King Solomon did his best to figure it all out. The wisest man to ever live said, "Everything under the sun that is done here is vanity." But we have to realize that so much of what we do is not actually near as important as we tend to think it is. So much of what we spend our time on are temporary things that are part of a temporary world that are only going to matter in our lives for a temporary time. And yet, we let those things completely and totally take over our lives, steal our focus on our purpose, keep us moving so much we can never be still, and make so much noise that we can never really hear the voice of God. So if we're going to combat our spiritual weariness by remembering our why, by being still and knowing that He is God and listening to His voice, we must be willing to make the changes necessary when He directs us. We must be willing to trim a little fat. All those baseball games we're chasing after instead of going to church are not going to matter when we or our children step into eternity. Trim a little fat. That TV show that we binge for hours on end will still be there later. Trim a little fat. That grass that's been higher than we'd like for it to be for a day or so now will not overtake our house like our house chores tend to overtake our lives. Trim a little fat. Same goes for dishes and laundry and all the many hours spent keeping a home absolutely perfect and tidy that takes total control of our time and our schedule. Trim a little fat. Those work tasks that we bring home all the time, but we have no time for anything else because we have to get it done. Trim a little fat. Those video games that we get lost in for hours on end to the point where we realize we've done nothing for the rest of the day. Trim a little fat. So this is not an indictment on these things, nor is it a call to totally get rid of those kinds of things from our lives. Work stuff needs to be done. House stuff needs to be done. Turning our brains off to watch something or play something can be beneficial. But it is simply a reminder that we must remember that so much of what we are spending our time on is temporary, not eternal things. And those things are wearing us out. If those things are hindering us from serving God as sincerely and enthusiastically as we can or we want to, then we must be willing to listen to the voice of God when He points us in another direction. Otherwise, it will continue to steal our time and our energy and our excitement for our service and following Christ moving forward. And finally, the part that I may struggle with the most to combat spiritual weariness is that we need to be willing to ask for help. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." I quote this verse often because I believe it is an invaluable direction given by God that we here in American Christianity, maybe even more so in the South, often avoid almost at all costs. Many of us have been conditioned that in this comparison game where our goal is to feel like we're doing better than the person next to us, to work harder, to be stronger, to be tougher than the person next to us, we have it in our heads that the surefire way to lose that game is to be honest about the struggles in our lives. We can't share with other people that we struggle with pornography. What might they think? We can't open up about our failure with alcohol. We can't really be honest about the struggles in our marriage or with our kids. And we can't tell people around us, particularly in our church where we serve, that we are frustrated and tired in our service to God. What would they think? What would they say? Maybe not directly to us, but after we leave, absolutely. How would they treat us moving forward? Would their undoubted disappointment show every time we talk to them? We always talk about how we all have sin and we all have struggle in our lives, and we know that on a conceptual level, but it's as if we truly believe that if we were to put a name to that struggle, if we were to give specifics and details, that the elaborate structure of people's perceptions of us that we've worked so hard to create would come crumbling down around us. My question to all of us today, tonight, is, so what if it did? What if the perceptions others had of us did come crumbling down around us? Would it really be that big of a deal? With all my heart, I believe no, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Yes, I realize that our reputations matter and our credibility as believers, but I don't think it would be necessarily a terrible thing for others, particularly for our brothers and sisters in Christ, perceptions of us to crumble, because most of what would be crumbling is a mountain of effort to put a fake best foot forward, to play the game so that people think we are doing better than we are. So much of what we present to the people around us is so far from the reality of our lives that it shows how incredible of actors we can be when we want to be. How many times have we broken the commandment of thou shalt not lie when we've been asked, how are you doing? How's your week been? Good. Fine. I really like fantastic and lovely a lot. We act like the worst thing that could happen is for people to know what we're struggling with, for someone to be able to put a face to our deficits and our difficulties. But look right here in what we just read. Confess your sins with one another. Share your heart with one another. Be vulnerable with one another. And pray for each other. Care for each other. And you will be healed. You want to stop fighting that battle that you always seem to lose and actually start to heal and recover from it? You want to heal from the past that hurts you so badly and keeps haunting you day in and day out? You want to recover from the exhaustion you feel in your spiritual walk with God? Turn to God with it. Then share it with others so that they can care about you and pray for you. Y'all, we've got to start giving our brothers and sisters in Christ a little more credit. We don't attack and shun people near as often as we tend to believe that we do. It does happen, it has happened in the lives of Christians, and we've got to keep working on our pride and all of that and allowing God to help us in those areas and give us direction. But by and large, if we share our hearts with one another, it has been my experience that what we are met with is not indignation, is not condemnation, is not a shove to the side like we're a piece of garbage, but instead, the vast majority of the time when we confess and share our struggles and our failures and our weariness out of a sincere heart of repentance and honesty, we are met with love and grace and understanding, because so many of us are in the exact same boat. We just don't know it because we won't talk about it. God has created us to be social beings. And with that comes the need to be willing to share ourselves with one another, to be authentic and real and sometimes vulnerable, so that others know when and how to support us and know that when they need support themselves, they know where to go. And that same truth applies with the sin in our lives, with the trauma that we go through, and with the fatigue that we may experience in our service with God. It doesn't mean we have to unload every problem we have we ever have on other people so that they can fix it, but it does mean that we have to be willing to ask for help when we need it, both from our God and from those around us. Now, I do want to real briefly add something along with this, not as an attempt to throw stones, because I have none to throw, but as a caution to all of us in this church. On the other side of asking for help, there is the reality then that we as believers need to be willing to help each other when we need it, to be there for our brothers and sisters, to acknowledge and to help carry one another's burdens when the need arises. Otherwise, there's no point in asking for help if no one's going to be there when we ask for it. And along those lines, I want to briefly mention that as I was preparing this sermon and thinking in terms of my failures and my struggles and what God was working on in my heart, it occurred to me, well, man, if I feel that way, There's no doubt in my mind that at times our church staff that live in that day in and day out must feel that way occasionally too. Now, they have no idea what I'm going to say. They have no idea what the topic of this message was other than the title. So I don't know how relevant what I'm about to say necessarily is. I don't know how often they feel this way. And I don't believe there are any significant problems. That's not where this is coming from. I just simply feel led to mention it as a word of caution to us as a church of something to be mindful of moving forward as it relates to our church staff and spiritual weariness. Our church staff is incredible, right? God has blessed us tremendously with the people that He has placed in the leadership and their various roles in this church. And the reality is that our church staff works hard. Like I said, they've never said anything to me, but I do have the privilege of spending a little bit of time with them, with several of them, through the small roles that I've played around here over the years. And what I've witnessed in watching them is that they absolutely work hard. And there is no doubt that there are times when they become tired because it would be impossible not to. And there are likely times when they are frustrated. And maybe even on occasion, a rare occasion, feel like Elijah on that cave. God, what is going on here? God, why am I working so hard, but it just seems like I'm getting nowhere? And let me tell you some of the ways that I've seen that that maybe could happen. Again, they have no idea where I'm going with this. But I could easily see some of these things taking place if we're not careful. When Brother Doug has spent hours upon hours in the week prepping sermons, which I need y'all to understand takes a lot of time. When he spent that time and that energy to put those together and he gets up here with the word from God that he's excited about and he looks out across the congregation and he sees people sleeping or checking their phones and their watches or blank stares looking right back in the face as if we couldn't care any less. And look, I'm just as guilty as that as anyone else. My wife nudges me all the time because I'm yawning. We need to be careful. When Brother Dale spends lots of time trying to put a song service together to lead our hearts in worship and comes and leads our practice time only to get into service and be met with a sea of indifferent faces. Y'all, I know we've talked about it a little bit before, but sometimes I want to just get a camera and point it out here so that y'all could see on the screens. Because when I'm over there on the drums, I'll look up every now and then and it looks like y'all are half dead. And I don't know if y'all are, if we're just that tired and that stuff's just so much stuff's going on, but I realize that we want to be reverent in our praise to our God, and I understand the reasons behind that. I do. But y'all do realize that our God is not an emotionless God, right? He is not a joyless God. He did not strike David down for dancing in the streets in praise of him. He's the one who gave us those emotions in the first place to be used for His glory. When's the last time we were overjoyed in the presence of our God and genuinely praised Him out of that? Particularly in a way that could give glory to Him because people could actually see it. What if we worship God while Brother Dale is leading with a smile on our face, joy in our hearts, and excitement in our voice because of who it is that we are worshiping? Or what about those times when Brother Doug is trying to, or Brother Michael is trying to plan things for the youth, but can't find enough sponsors to make it happen? How exhausting do you think that can become? Y'all realize that essentially the same five or so people sponsor nearly every youth trip and activity that we do. What if we encouraged Michael and helped with his potential spiritual weariness by pouring into the youth and investing in their lives through spending time with them, real time, sponsoring on trips, helping with activities, just coming to the youth group to hang out, inviting them into our homes, loving them the way God has called us to love each other, and supporting him when he needs it? We can mention Brother Kelly and those involved with the college ministry, and it being the same group of people that often cook all the vast majority of meals, or the same group of people that go on the trips with the college students. Or we can talk about Brother Ken spending so much time and energy to make outreach and witnessing as straightforward and easy as possible, to where it's literally just handing out a small booklet that could impact people to come to know Christ or at least spark a conversation. Our staff members and leadership work hard. and undoubtedly occasionally get tired. What if we trimmed the fat in our lives so that we could genuinely and consistently support them? More than just sitting in a pew a few times a week, or going on one trip, or showing up for one activity, or writing a check, or just mumbling through a service while we ponder how long it's going to be before we get to eat. And again, I'm just as guilty. That place of going through the motions, of being involved as little as possible, of having little motivation, that's where I've been, that's where this message is coming from, I get it. But our staff need our help in combating spiritual weariness in the same way that we need theirs. God set it up this way on purpose because it works if we take it seriously. If we remember our purpose, rest in knowing that He is our God, follow the direction of His voice and help each other out when we need it, all the other stuff will fall into place. Look, you may be here tonight and you're like, Wade, I have no idea where this is coming from. I'm good, I'm not tired, everything's great. That's fantastic. And maybe this was only relevant for me. Maybe everything that I've said has no bearing on the lives of anyone here. But I want to encourage everyone that if you do find yourself wore out and less motivated and frustrated and exhausted in your spiritual walk and service with God, you're not alone. You're not the first, and you'll probably not be the last. And our big God that we serve, He is not afraid of your weariness. He is not afraid of your frustration. He, more than anyone, understands where your heart is and how to get you out. So remember and focus on your why. Be intentional about resting and being still in the presence of God. Listen for His voice and direction and follow when He gives it to you. Ask for help when you need it and be the help for others when they need it. Otherwise, we may keep finding ourselves in the same place. Or maybe you're here tonight because you haven't even started that walk with God. Look, it's not near as bleak as I may have made it out to be. Yes, it can be exhausting. Yes, there are times when it can be frustrating. Jesus told us there would be trials and tribulations in this life. But let me make sure you understand it is worth it. Wow. It is absolutely worth it. And it's worth it because of Jesus and how much He cares for us. Real quickly, we all understand that we are sinners. That we have made mistakes, that we are imperfect beings. And because we are imperfect, we are separated from a perfect God. But God loved us so much that He didn't want to leave it that way, so He sent His Son Jesus to live a perfect life, to sacrifice Himself on the cross, to rise again 3 days later so that He could be the bridge between us and God that we could never be for ourselves. And the only thing that He asks from us in return is what Brother Doug talked about this morning, putting our faith in Him. Not just acknowledging that He's a thing and that He exists, but truly trusting in Him that He is the only way to our God and committing our life after that to Him. And yes, along with that will come some difficulties, will come some weariness, but it'll also bring a lot of joy and a lot of peace and a lot of purpose and a lot of meaning that we would never have otherwise. And so tonight, if you're here and you are struggling with spiritual weariness the way that I am, you're tired in your walk with Christ and things seem stale, tonight's the night to start moving in the other direction. Or if you're here tonight and you don't have that relationship at all, please come ask questions. Spend some time at the altar. Every single one of us have business to do with our God. What a waste it would be to leave here without actually doing it. Would y'all stand with me as we prepare for an invitation? Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this day and for the opportunity that we have to be here together. God, I thank You for being a God who understands. God, we get tired, and sometimes we crumble under the expectations that we feel are placed on us in this walk as Christians. But God, in the end, what matters is that You care about us, and You love us, and You hold us up, not the other way around. And so God, I pray that You'd help us to trust You, that You'd help us to be still and listen to Your voice, that You'd help us to remember when we get tired and when we get frustrated that You are a God who cares and that You are a God who has purpose for our lives. And Father God, if anyone here is here tonight and they do not know that purpose because they don't have a relationship with You, God, I pray that You would move in their hearts as only You can. Ultimately, God, I pray that You would just work in us the way that each of us need to change the things that would make us more and more like You and Your Son. Forgive us in the many ways that we fail. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.